do you say that I am? Of all the questions Jesus asks the disciples during his short but life-changing ministry, I believe this might be the most profound of them all. For the disciples then, and probably for us today. For how this question is answered changes, well, everything. So who answers Jesus when he asks in the gospel lesson we just heard? It was Simon Peter who steps forward first, and in this version of the story, it doesn't sound like it went very well for him. He gets a little tongue-lashing from Jesus, doesn't he? But you see, I say this version of the story because, as is often the case, a version of this same story is told in the other two synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke. And each is slightly different from the other. In Matthew's version, Jesus has an altogether different response to Peter. In Matthew's version, Peter receives a new name, a new identity, given the name Petros, Greek for rock. Peter becomes the stone, the rock, the foundation upon which Jesus claims his church will be built. What I want us to consider today is why Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" is so important. And that it seems perfectly reasonable, if not inevitable, that our answers to that question will change throughout our lifetime as well. Here Jesus is midway through his career, as it were, and by all accounts, things are humming. He has delivered the Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching and teaching and healing, and his disciples are following right along. Not always understanding, mind you, what's happening, but they are seems to be growing in faithfulness nonetheless. And they're loyal to their Rebbe, to their teacher. And then, out of the blue, Jesus gathers his disciples and decides to engage in what we might describe as a kind of performance review. First, he asks them to tell him what other folks are saying about him. Who do they say he is? And you know, that answer seems to roll right off their tongues. And we get that, right? It is so easy to report to someone what someone else is saying about them, even if it's not completely accurate reporting. But then the question gets infinitely harder with a slight change in focus. Instead of asking, "Who do others say that I am?" now he turns directly to his followers and he asks, "But who do you say that I am?" Through this question, the gospel writer of Mark is not just interested in a narrative that correctly defines who Jesus is, but also, I believe, a story that shapes a community molded in light of Jesus' actions and teachings. In these questions, there are opportunities to define identity and purpose, formation and discipleship. In other words, in this question, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus is asking his disciples some stuff like this. "What do you think I'm doing here? How's this ministry working for you? Are your lives being changed and in some way better because I'm here with you? Do you recognize this as a path of truth and love and faith, even if you don't understand?" These are all questions of identity. Questions that reveal more about the one who answers the question than the one who asks the question, I think. So this seems to be like a really good time to be reminded of our identity as a faith community as well. Who are we as progressive, inclusive, creative followers of Christ? And why do we do what we do in the name of Christ? In other words, if Jesus was standing right here next to me, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" We best come up with an answer right quick, I think. Following today's service, the Christian Formation Team and I will be introducing a year-long theme for all of our classes and all of our activities together, entitled Reclaiming Jesus. I encourage all of you to grab a cup of coffee and a snack and then come and join us up here at the tables where we'll have this short, but I hope important, conversation introducing this theme. Last year, during an Ash Wednesday retreat, 23 major Christian leaders from around the world gathered to pray and talk and wrestle with creating a united response to what felt like to them a crisis of faith. Following is an excerpt of how they described their purpose and the outcome of their gathering and the foundation of what we will be using for our formation throughout the year. Together they wrote this. The question we face is this: who is Jesus Christ for us today? What does our loyalty to Christ as disciples require at this moment in history? We believe it is time to renew our theology of public discipleship and witness, applying what Jesus as Lord means to progressive Christians today is the message we commend as elders of the church. What we believe leads us to what we must reject as well. Our six yeses are foundational for our six noes. What we confess as our faith leads to what we are willing to confront. Therefore, we offer six affirmations of what we believe and the resulting rejections of practices and policies by political leaders which dangerously corrode the soul of the nation and deeply threaten the public integrity of our faith and civil discourse. We pray that we, as followers of Jesus, will find the depth of faith to match the danger of our political crisis. This document that we will be sharing with you later this morning is titled Reclaiming Jesus, A Confession of Faith in a Time of Crisis. And your Christian Formation Team and I have altered that just ever so slightly to also underscore that we believe that this is also a time of opportunity as well. We will provide these six affirmations and talk about how those translate to six themes that we will follow throughout our liturgies and our formation. We believe each is an important facet of the question, framing what we hope will be a year full of rich interactions and questions and answers as we travel together. We have already discussed as a group that who Jesus is not an easy or even comfortable question for many of us. We get that, and still we think it's a question that we should ask together. Being a progressive, inclusive, creative, and downtown expression of Christianity today is, as we often say, messy and complicated. And it's those things in part because we don't want to dictate our beliefs or offend someone for different beliefs, right? But here's the thing. I believe we need to be able to articulate who we say Jesus is, even if that answer changes over time, for us together and us individually as we grow in faith. So we hope you will travel with us this year and participate fully in everything that we have already planned, as well as things that will surely come up throughout the year. Each and every aspect of our communal life this year will help answer part of the question, who do you say that I am? But wait, there's more. What about Monday through Saturday? Who is Jesus those days of the week? You see, I think that might be even a bigger question than asking that question when we're all here, comfy and cozy together. When was the last time out there you told someone who you thought Jesus was? I think this is perhaps one of the most vulnerable things we are asked to do as Christians today. For many of us, we pull back from the idea, believing that we aren't supposed to impose our beliefs on someone else. I get that, and I feel a lot of that myself as well. But I would want to reframe that thinking this year and instead let ourselves believe that we have a beautiful love story to tell about Jesus in our lives, trusting that someone else just might need to hear that love story. Each of us brings a story that answers, at least in part, the question we asked today. And the question we will ask all year, who do you say that I am? And I can't help but believe that if we were more willing to share our stories, we would learn a lot about ourselves, as well as being witnesses for love and hope and healing in a world so badly broken. So why is this so hard for so many of us? I think it is because talking about Jesus challenges us to break it down and resist the all too often temptation to stand behind religious language or creeds or doctrines, which have import and authority, of course, but don't always get to the heart of the question. It's hard, I know. And it requires a kind of courage and vulnerability that sometimes we're not willing to offer. But what else is there in a community of faith, really? Deep breath. I'll go first, and I'll go now. It won't be perfect, and my answer will require daily edits, and maybe even a complete rewrite at a certain time. But if you were to ask me, or better yet, if that guy we follow was standing here and he said, "Yeah, I get all that, Lisa. But Lisa, hey, who do you say that I am?" Here's what I would try to say to him today. Jesus, you are a model and a reminder of who and how I want to be in this world. Honest and present, generous and trusting, gracious and fearless. And when I stop and pay attention to the moments that make up my life, I have glimpses of this better way. You become something real to me, Jesus, any number of ways and times. Here are a few. When I discover a small opening in my often fearful being, and I let go of my need for total control and recognize something not of my own making, saving me from my little self. Or when in the vast concepts of God, the Trinity, divinity, eternity, and immortality, I look at my now beautifully grown, almost 19-year-old daughter and experience the indescribable miracle of her presence in my life and her other mom's life. Or when I sing and I feel the deepest connection of being at one with everything that ever was or will ever be. Or when I accept that I am loved beyond my wildest dreams and trust that my life is an extension of the most profound kind of love in the world, even and especially when I don't understand or think I deserve it. Or when I receive or give forgiveness, especially the outrageous kind when I think that someone doesn't deserve that forgiveness, or I don't know how to receive that forgiveness. Or here's one more, when I discover compassion in the face of great pain or loss or fear, either through finding a friend to travel by my side, or when I am a friend, to travel and to listen and really see someone else in their pain and brokenness. That's what I got, Jesus. Those are some of the moments when I think about who you are to me that I come up with today. You see, I've never been enamored of a kind of faith that claims everything happens for a reason. Rather, I have come to believe in our personal agency and our ability to make choices, good and not so good, and in the gift to always be able to begin again. And it is in that moment that I turn to the stories and patterns of Jesus to help me do that again and again and again. So that's my starting place for today. I have probably left out some significant things you were expecting a priest to say, and maybe my answers seem too small or too simple. But I think this guy named Jesus knows that. And this question is, after all, iterative, and our answers will never be exhaustive if they are real and grow with us as we grow in our faith. The bottom line for me is I pray that we wrestle with this question of who do we say Jesus is a little bit each day. Not just in the words we choose or the songs that we sing or the prayers that roll off of our tongues, but in the decisions we make, in the strangers that we turn into friends, in the ways that we walk in the world every day. May we continue to hold this question before us in the days to come, so that we are constantly caught up in the power of living a life accepting and confessing God's love. And may we find courage and strength to then share those answers with those who have yet to hear that there is a peace and there is a promise and there is a place where God's love always wins and no one is forgotten or turned away. Thank you for helping me start my story. Please share your story out in the world with the world that needs that kind of love more than ever today. May it be so.